going on? Hello?
Everyone, and welcome to Take Two Radio. I'm Pam, your host, and joining me today as my co-host is my good buddy, David. Hello, David.
Hi, Pam. How are you this fine, warmer evening?
Live and breathe and walk and talk and ha-ha-ha. Not all at the same time, either. Let's see how our guest is doing. Tonight we're so very, very pleased to have with us a young and the restless actor and an actor in other things as well, Hartley Sawyer. Welcome, Hartley.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us. I'm assuming you're still working, huh?
Yes, yes, I am.
Do you have a lot of long days and then some short days? I mean, does it kind of even out?
I mean, the hours are usually not too crazy, but yeah, sometimes you'll have scenes in the morning and then scenes in the evening or whatever, but honestly, I don't want to sound like I'm complaining because...
Oh,
I'm
no,
really
never,
time.
Never, yeah, no. Never. I know you enjoy what
job.
You're doing, otherwise you wouldn't be in the business.
yeah, because they put you through the ringer.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, we'd like to know a little bit more about your background and how and when did you decide to become an actor?
When I was in high school, I was like 14, and I signed up for this spring musical on a whim, which was West Side Story. And I think I did it because girls were doing it, you know?
Oh.
That's why I did it.
Yeah, which is not necessarily a good reason to do anything, but, you know, when you're 14 in high school, whatever.
Right.
But I signed up for that, and I got cast. This is the funniest part. I got cast in it as a shark boy, so I was a Puerto Rican.
Oh.
Which, you know, obviously I'll get cast as Puerto Ricans throughout my career, clearly.
Right.
But no, I just enjoyed it, and I started doing the plays and so forth in high school, and then when I was 17, and we started talking about college and stuff like that, and after high school, what would I do? And that's when I really was like, well, you know, I want to be an actor. I want to do this. And,
you
know, here I am 11 years later or whatever.
Yeah. Did you get a lot of girls when you got into the plays and the theater and stuff like that? Did you find that there was a difference?
It certainly helped my confidence, but I was one of those, I guess kind of an ugly duckling. Like, I was really awkward until about half, I mean, I'm still really awkward, let's be honest, but like, I was really awkward until halfway through high school. I was like, I hadn't, you know, sprouted yet. I grew like 2-3 inches in the last couple of years of high school and just shot up and leaned out and all that stuff. But halfway through the first half of high school, I was just kind of more reserved, and I wore glasses and that whole thing. So I think it had more to do with maybe the physical stuff than doing the plays.
Yeah. Now, did you end up taking acting lessons of any type once you left school? Or was it
I actually went to college
school?
For it. I went to college at Emerson College in Boston, and I majored in theater studies and philosophy.
Oh, okay. Okay, that sounds good. Then would you think of ever being anything else when you were in college, or just acting was it and that was it?
It was kind of it and that was it, but if I had to start all over, you know, or if I not start all over because I would still pursue this, obviously, but if I had to live a different life, I would probably, and this is a complete 180, but I would really want to be a veterinarian or something like that, to be honest.
Yeah, but I can understand that with, you know, what you tweet out as far as being such a huge advocate of dogs and especially the pit bulls. I can definitely see that happening.
Well, the way I grew up, too, my grandfather was an equestrian veterinarian, and I grew up on a farm with a lot of animals and stuff, and that's kind of something that I would very much enjoy doing.
Could you see yourself being a farmer?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's basically, I grew up, that's kind of how I, mm-hmm. we weren't really a working
right.
farm, but I grew up in that environment doing that kind of work, and I worked on horse farms in the town where I grew up and stuff. So, oh, yeah, I love that stuff. I love that
oh,
stuff.
Wow.
I mean, that's where I would love to, like, end up on a ranch or something one day and just kind of live there and be and die on a ranch.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I want to die on a ranch. Quote me on that.
Yeah, it's funny because my mom used to tell me that when I was younger, you know, you should live on a farm with all the animals that you want to have in this house. And now where I am at today, I'm allergic to almost everything. So it just did a 180 right there. And that's heartbreaking when you grow up with animals and you can't be around most of them.
Did it just change one day and that's all?
No, well, it's pregnancy, so don't ever get pregnant.
I'll try to avoid that.
It changes your hormones, and when I got pregnant with my first son, I became allergic to cats, and at that time I had a cat for 18 and a half years. And
yeah.
I kept her until she passed away. I suffered with my allergies. I didn't care. I wasn't going to give her up. And then when I had my last son, which is my fourth child, I became allergic to dogs. And so I had to give away my German Shepherd because he shed like crazy, and that broke my heart.
Yeah.
But I did have a Shih Tzu at that time, and she didn't seem to bother me as much. And I found out later on that I could have dogs that didn't shed and have as much dander. So now I have two Yorkies. Because my Shih Tzu passed away.
Yeah, I was going to, first of all, congratulations on four children. That's awesome. And I was going to ask about, like, hypoallergenic dogs. Like, poodles don't have dander, so they're hypoallergenic.
Right. Yeah, and I had no idea. Here I suffered without having a dog for a few years and really missed it because, I mean, I had a dog from birth. And so
yeah, me too.
When I found out that, I was like, oh, yes, I'm going to get a dog.
That's great. I love that. But I love shepherds. I'm sorry that had to happen. Sorry to see that go.
Oh,
German shepherds
yeah.
are great.
Yeah, they are. They're so much fun, but they're huge dogs. They're a lot to take care of. So anybody that's ever thinking
mm-hmm.
about having a shepherd, think twice about having a large dog. You got to have enough room
yeah.
for them. Thankfully, I have a house, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But smart, oh, my God, they are so smart.
And loyal. And, you know, look at it this way.
Yeah.
You could always guilt trip your children if you wanted to. You could always say, I gave up dogs bringing you into this world.
Well, in a way, I kind of did because one of the kids, I don't even remember which one it was now, wanted to have a cat. And I said, hey, I think it was my daughter that said that because I have three boys and a girl. And I says, hey, blame your brother. We can never have a cat here. Sorry.
Okay, yeah. Put them at odds against each other. That's good. That's very
yeah.
good. Three boys and a daughter. Oh, my God, that poor girl.
Yeah, well, she stands her own, let me tell you. And today is actually
That's true,
her 23rd,
yeah.
Today is actually her 23rd birthday.
Oh, happy. What's her name?
Olivia.
Happy birthday, Olivia. My friend just had a baby, and her name is Olivia. It's a great name.
Thank you. I'll pass that on to her. I don't
she's
even
doing.
Know where she is right now. I didn't even get to give her birthday squishes and hugs, so she's in
you
for it.
You
got to
do that.
I know, right? So let's go back to you. What did you do as far as work when before you landing your first role on Glory Days?
Oh, God, let's see. I came to L.A. about 6 years ago, and I mean, I always, it's such a kind of a lame thing to say in a way, but I really have kind of done every job, with the exception of prostitution. I want to point that out. But others, so far anyway. Between working on farms as a kid and then coming out here, I worked at Starbucks. I did waitering. I did catering. I sold custom labeled bottled water. I was a personal trainer, like moving business. I've kind of done, you know, everything, which I feel like a lot of actors do anyway. You know, you kind of, what will pay me, and you take that job. So the first couple of years before Glory Days, it was Starbucks and waitering, and then I was a personal trainer for the longest consistent period of time, which I really did enjoy doing, and then Glory Days happened, and I moved on from that and focused primarily on acting, thankfully, thank God.
Yeah.
I've been very lucky in that sense.
Definitely. Do you still work out on a daily basis or a few times a week or something? Because you're in great shape, of course.
Well, thank you for saying so. Yeah, no, I still, in college, I was very much into powerlifting in college, and I'm about 200 pounds now, but I was about 240 in college, so I was quite a bit bigger, and it was pretty much all muscle. And then I started to cut back on that and drop down closer to 200 when I came out here. And I'm still, you know, I'm still in the gym 4 or 5 days a week.
Well, how tall are you? Because you don't look 200 pounds.
I'm about 6'3", 6'4", right around 6'4".
Oh, okay. That makes sense then. Yeah. You're very tall. So it just all throughout your whole body then.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm very long and lanky and everything like that.
Well, what did you learn from playing Brian that you adhered to your acting roles that you had from that point on?
The biggest thing with Glory Days with Brian was the sheer enjoyment of working professionally as an actor, because that was actually the first professional job I ever did, oddly enough, which was like being shot out of a cannon in a really crazy but fun way. But mm-hmm. I still to this day keep in touch with most of the castmates from that show, and we formed friendships that, you know, we'll probably have the rest of our lives. So I think I just learned how much fun it really can be, and that there is a reward to this whole thing, that, you know, you're working for something that may never happen, but boy, it's fun when it happens.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
It made me, yeah, I think the biggest thing it instilled in me was kind of a sense of gratitude, realizing how lucky I was to be there and how lucky I am to be working, making my living as an actor.
Yeah, because if you think about it, there's so many people that have wanted to be an actor, and unfortunately, you know, it would never work out for them. So I think mm-hmm. it's very few people that get to do what they actually want to do, and you're one of them.
Yeah, I'm very grateful for that.
Well, I'll tell you, we definitely love you as Kyle on Young and the Restless. How did you end up getting on the number one soap?
The audition came along from my reps during pilot season this last year, and they were like, do you want to do a soap opera? Do you want to try out for daytime? And I was like, of course I do, because to be honest with you, I just really want to work. I just really want to mm-hmm. be a working actor and try different things. And I've done TV, and I've done some prime time, and I'd never done anything in daytime. However, and this is such a sticky thing to say, but it's so true. I remember growing up with that stuff on in the living room at lunchtime, if my mom was home from work or whatever. I remembered Eric Braeden and his mustache, and I remember.
Oh, so your mom watches Young and the Restless.
she would watch like many soap fans. She was not necessarily a diehard fan, but she would always, if she was home, she would have it on, and she would flip from that and maybe flip to something else after, like Days of Our Lives, or mm-hmm. I remember Santa Barbara was on, Another World was on. I remember these shows being on as a kid, and I like that world, and I feel like the world of soap operas is, first of all, it's a really great opportunity for an actor to act a lot and act mm-hmm. often, which, you know, you don't really get that opportunity. You may be a working actor, but maybe you're not acting that often if you're working a couple
right.
of times a year or whatever. And for me, it's nostalgic from those experiences as a kid, and it's also there's something about it that's so American. It's like being a slice of like Americana to be involved in the show that I really like. I think it's cool. It's like somebody said to me, they were like, oh, cool, you're kind of a part of TV history because this is such an iconic show.
Definitely. And
an
the Abbott family.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, you either have to be an Abbott or a Newman. So there you go.
that's absolutely right. So I love it. I love it for that.
Well, we are so very happy that you joined because we enjoy watching you and seeing what's going to come up next. And poor Kyle has no idea that he can actually date his so-called sister, so hopefully the truth will come out. And the only thing is
I
feel sorry for Jack instead of Nick then.
I know, but I feel like Jack never really wins anyway, you know?
He doesn't, poor guy.
He doesn't.
Mm-mm. He always gets his butt kicked. It's always,
right?
You know, it's not fair. I'm not saying that just because he's my on-screen dad. I mean, I want to see the guy with one.
Well, you know what they say, nice guys finish last. So, you know, let's hope that eventually he comes out ahead somewhere. You know, things being torn down now with him owning Newman and Eric is, you know, breaking that down and it's useless and, oh my gosh, just so many things are going on with him and I just feel for him. So Kyle can come in and save the day somehow.
That would be nice. I would love to do that. I would love to do that. And I would love for Kyle to be able to date Summer because that would be fun. But, oh well, you know, he has no idea.
Right, right. Well, I'm sure the truth will come out sooner or later. I think it's going towards that way.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about a cause that you're so passionate about, and that's saving the pit bulls and adopting Holden. Tell us more about that, because David and I both feel very strongly about saving dogs and cats and giving them homes instead of having them being put down.
Well, it's something that and Holden, I was actually just handling that day at Strut Your Mutt. I didn't adopt him. I have two myself already. I have Maggie and BG, two girls, two pit bulls.
Oh.
And the good news about Holden is he was adopted. He's been adopted.
Cool.
Yeah, because he really is just like the perfect dog. And his foster mom decided to keep him, which I suspected would happen because he's just such a sweet boy. But that's what we call a foster failure, which is really a success.
Yeah.
And that's how I ended up keeping both of mine because I got involved in Angel City Pit Bulls, which is the rescue group that I volunteer with, because a friend of mine, Stephanie Lemelin, who's an actress, we met in an acting class, and she kind of started the organization with some friends. And, you know, I had just done Glory Days and was feeling good about stuff professionally. And I wanted to volunteer, but I didn't know what I was really passionate about. But I grew up with Mastiffs and Pit Bulls back in New York. And this came along, and I knew the bad rap that Pit Bulls had, and I wanted to get in and do something about it. And ended up volunteering, ended up fostering Maggie, who's a red-nosed pit bull, and had her for a couple of months. I got a call one day that said, my doctor really, really wants Maggie. We think he wants her. And I just couldn't let her go. I couldn't give it up. So I just said, no, she, I was like, she's mine now. She's not going anywhere. You'll have to pry her from my cold, dead hands.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then BG, the other one, that was in 2011. That was about 2 years. I've had Maggie 2 years now. And BG, I met at the Baldwin, it's Baldwin Hills, it's not Baldwin, yeah, Baldwin Hills, I think. Animal Shelter. I always get Baldwin Hills and Baldwin Park messed up. But it was a Baldwin Hills Animal Shelter, and it was Baldwin Park. Anyways, I met her on Christmas Eve. I was stopping by to help out a little bit with some people that were over there, and I saw her in her little cage and signed myself up as an interested party and kept going back to make sure that she was not, you know, euthanized and all of that, and then finally pulled her myself and brought her home, and she just fit in perfectly. She's a blue-nosed pit bull, and she fit in perfectly with Maggie and with, you know, my lifestyle and everything. So she's here now for good.
Wow.
Oh, that's
so
great.
Sweet. David, I think you had a question.
Yes, I did. In your opinion, what makes a dog or a cat evil?
It is. It has to do. I really feel like it's the same thing that can potentially make a human being quote unquote evil, or make a human being a real jerk, and that just has to do with how they're raised and the environment that they're raised in and the nurturing that they go through. If you raise a person in an aggressive environment and their parents are aggressive and violent and maybe, you know, physically violent or even verbally abusive when there are conflicts, then as a human, that child will probably carry that over into their adult life.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it's a simple fact that how many criminals, you know, serious criminals are out there that had really happy home lives? Probably not a lot.
No.
And it's the same thing. It's the same thing with an animal, because they're just not, I don't know of any animal that I've ever met that is born evil.
No. Mm-mm.
Thank you.
I just don't think it happens. It's a matter of nurturing. It's a matter of the environment. And, you know, it's a domesticated dog. Dogs aim to please. That's what they want to do. They will
do whatever
their master wants them to do to please them.
That's very true. I mean, all they want is love and food. That's it. They don't ask for anything else.
Yeah,
that's true.
You
that's
know?
All I
and
want.
If you
dude,
can't give that to them, then you don't belong having an animal.
I completely agree. And that's the same thing for a child. It's the same thing for a dog. It's just
right.
they depend on us to take care for them, and they will do whatever they need, whatever we teach them to do to get that affection, to get that approval. And that's the unfortunate thing with things like dog fighting is it's just the way that they're raised.
Oh,
and a lot of people
God.
Don't realize it, but the big story with Michael Vick a couple of years ago when they busted him on the dog fighting ring, I think there were something like 43 dogs that they recovered from the fighting ring. And all but I think three of them were successfully rehabbed and placed in homes and became family dogs.
Thank God. So they they can be trained to not be aggressive once they have been trained to be aggressive?
That's a case-by-case basis. I mean, in an ideal scenario, from puppyhood, they're never really exposed to it, you know? And there are cases where a dog has been taught to be a certain way, behave a certain way, and that dog may not be fit, you know, to be in a home, which is really unfortunate, but can be the case. But by and large, there is just such a misrepresentation of the pit bull breed, and the misrepresentation, I think, just kind of fuels everything, which is unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's very true because, you know, anytime I watch the news or I watch Judge Judy or something, you know, and somebody's been attacked by a dog or a dog has attacked somebody else's pet, it usually turns out to be a pit bull or what's that other one that's like that?
Rottweiler?
The Rottweiler, yes. And
yeah.
so when
yeah.
you start hearing the story, that's the first thing that pops into your head. Oh, I bet it was a pit bull or a Rottweiler, you know. And that's very unfortunate because I know a friend of mine, her son, he loves pit bulls. And his dog was one of the sweetest dogs I ever met. But then again, he treated him kindly and never wanted him to be aggressive.
Yeah, no, that's exactly how it goes. I mean, I always encourage people not to have any illusions about it either, though, because, you know, somebody was talking to me saying that he maybe wanted a pit bull. We had a talk, and it sounded he wanted something more like, you know, a golden retriever or a Labrador. I love Labrador retrievers. I grew up with them as well. And to me, it's kind of like with any power breed, whether it's a shepherd, whether it's a Rottweiler, whether it's pit bull, there is more responsibility that comes with an animal that's that powerful and needs that kind of attention, and you really need to be a strong alpha, for lack of a better word, whether you're a man or a woman. You need to be the leader of the pack because the power breeds really respond really well to that. So they're not the dog necessarily for everybody, but I feel like the image of the breed is just really, it's really, really dark, and it doesn't need to be.
Exactly. Now, how can people help if they can't adopt?
They can. I think the biggest thing for changing anything in this world is information and is awareness. And, you know, I have neighbors who have met Maggie, who is very, very sweet with people. She loves people. She's just such a, you know, she kind of melts when she, that's how she is. She's so cute. And I had neighbors who met her and were like, "Is she a pit bull?" And I was like, "Oh yeah." And they said, "I had no idea pit bulls could be like this."
Right.
And that to me was like, that's what it's all about, is people not realizing. People
that's
just
right.
not, it's not, it's no discredit to them. People just not realizing they aren't all great dogs, depending on how they're raised, but they really can just be the sweetest, sweetest things. You know, many years ago, 100 years ago or so, the pit bull was referred to as the nanny dog because they were used kind of as canine nannies for very young children because they're excellent with young children.
I never heard of that. That is unbelievable, a nanny dog.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
You would never hear that.
I think
that
that's pretty cool. I mean, my
dogs,
my Yorkies, are known as rat dogs because they were bred to chase the mice in England.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think your pit bulls have a better background.
Yeah.
Well, they were. I mean, my other one is a smaller pit. She's like an American Staffordshire Bull Terrier. She's a little smaller and stouter, and she was also used for ratting too. So back in the
oh,
day,
really?
So I certainly, yeah, I hear you on that.
Yeah, I never realized
cat,
it until
no
I started
cat.
Looking into it. You know, about getting another dog and what types of dogs I could have, and I read that and I was like, what?
Hey, you don't
no
need
idea.
Cats anymore, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. Except,
yeah.
You know what? In the wintertime, because I'm in Chicago, we do have, you know, a mouse here or there that tries to get in. And I've never seen my dogs, you know, like try to figure out where it is or where it went. We have to do that ourselves to get a mouse. So
they're lazy.
They're lazy now.
They're living
a
good life.
I think they've been Americanized, you know, because they're not in England anymore.
Yes,
they
have.
Make them do it.
Yeah, no, they don't care anymore.
Right.
Excellent.
Well, I want to thank you because I know you only had 30 minutes. I want to thank you so much for joining us and giving us such interesting stories and more knowledge about pit bulls and that, and of course about your background. And we really, really look forward to seeing you more on Young and the Restless.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate you having me, and I would love to do it again at any point. Just give me a call, and I really enjoy it. I really enjoy the job a lot, and I mean what I say about the dogs and everything, but not just pit bulls, any dog.
Oh, any, yeah.
I happen to focus on pit bulls and the fact that just thousands of animals get put to sleep daily. It's just, I don't care what animal it is, what dog or whatever, but I think as a people we could do better with that kind of stuff. And I think we are doing better, but we should continue to be aware of that.
I completely agree with you, and I know David does too, because it's heartbreaking to know. When I was looking for a home for my German Shepherd, and I couldn't find one right away, I was looking at different places to put him that would not put him down, and my gosh, it's almost impossible to find. But I did find
one. The volume is just too great. There's just the volume is just too great. Oh, you did find one. Excellent.
Yeah, I did. And actually, what I had done before that was called the police department because I thought maybe, you know, he would make a good drug sniffing dog or whatever they wanted to do with him. At least they knew he would be taken care of. But he didn't pass all the criteria. The one thing that he did that shocked the heck out of me is the cop went outside my backyard gate, and he told me to stay in the yard with my dog. And then he came after me, like, with the fence in between us, like, rawr, you know, that kind of thing. My dog, for the first time in 3 years since I had him, showed aggression and went after the cop. And he was trying to jump over the fence. So, but other than that, he's a loving dog.
Yeah, well, you know, he has every right to protect you if that's the case. I mean, if you were my mother and somebody did that, I'd protect you the same way.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to know that.
I've got your back. I've always got your back. But, yeah, it's not easy for those police dogs. They're super, super highly trained. They're really cool.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But like I said, at least I know he was taken care of, and that's a good thing. I know he's in a good home and people that love him and take care of him, so I'm happy about that. So
you did a good thing.
Thank you. David, you want to say anything?
No, I just wanted to add on. a little short story before I let you go. It was a couple weeks ago, and I heard right across from our library, someone was attacked by a pit bull.
Right.
And I got to tell you, the one thing that burned my collar was saying that it's in the dog's DNA to do that.
Right.
And I just couldn't stand it. I just couldn't stand hearing that. I said, no dog is innately evil like that. That's learned behavior. And no one agreed with me with that.
Well, I agree with you completely. And I think it boils down to, again, awareness, because, people need to realize that any animal, that if it does feel threatened, it may lash out, whether it's a pit bull or whether it's a Yorkie. It doesn't really matter. And I think people need to kind of be more aware of those kinds of things, too, that that they are animals, and so they're going to protect themselves aggressively if they have to, if they're in an environment that they're worried about that. But to specifically target people, I don't think that's in any animals.
No.
That's a learned behavior. That's not innate.
Definitely. Well, thank you again. Don't work too hard, but work hard enough so we keep seeing you.
that's right. Yes, that's good advice.
And we'd love to have you back in the future when you have more time.
I would love that. That'd be great.
Thank you, Hartley.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I love when people are passionate about, animals, because that's so close to my heart. And I know it is yours as well. We all treat our, you and I at least, treat our animals like children, like they're part of our family. I will even kid around and say, and I don't even know if it's a joke anymore, to tell you the truth.
Well,
when I want Lexi to go over by my daughter, I'll say, Lexi, go by your sister, and she knows what I'm saying.
And she knows what you're talking about?
Yeah.
I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a joke. I think that's nice. And if she knows it.
Yeah.
I think that's cuter yet.
Or I'll text my daughter, come up here and get your sister. She's driving me crazy. I need a break. And she'll come up here and get her.
I know. I do the same thing with the cats. I'll say, Emmy, go get your brothers. Time to eat.
Right? See?
Mm-hmm.
And with Jax, I don't even know. Sometimes I'll say, to Lexi, where's your husband? Where's Jax at? Or where's your brother? Because I don't know what they are in their relationship. They never told me.
Another offshoot from parenting.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And I am still learning.
Yeah.
Because mine think they run this house.
Of course, they're cats.
Mm-hmm.
That's how cats are. They're the boss.
Yep. Feed me, pet me, or I'll bite you.
Yeah, yeah. And what's funny about cats, too, is that I remember from my cats that I had, they're the type that, especially my boy cat that I had, if he didn't want to be bothered, if I wanted to pet him, he would kind of like stick his nose up in the air and walk away from me. Like, I'll come by you when I'm ready. That kind of thing,
Yep. On their time.
Right? It's so funny. Well, thank you to Hartley and for being so passionate and for trying to help pit bulls or any dogs of this world and anybody else out there that is doing the same thing. We really appreciate it. There's too many of them being put down, and they could be a great pet for somebody. Instead of going out and buying yourself a new dog, from wherever, a breeder or, a pet store or something like that, look into adopting a dog or a cat that needs your help, and please, please help them. I can't even say it in much. It, like I said, it's so heartbreaking to hear about them all dying. And who was it that we had that 17,000 cats or dogs or something are put down a day? Who did
we
talk to?
William DeVry.
William DeVry, yes, another one that's very passionate about that. So I could not believe that number when he said it. That just blew me away.
I neither.
Mm-mm. Wow. Well, we'll have Hartley back another time when he has more time. As you can tell, he only had 30 minutes with us, but that's because he's still at work. So we need him to work so we can watch him on YNR and anything else that he has coming up. Join us tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Remember, David, 6 p.m. Eastern Time.
Yep, it's down there. 6 p.m. tomorrow.
Okay, for our guest, two-time Grammy Award winner and 9-time Grammy nominated, Janice Ian. She is a singer, songwriter, and also an author. And I'm very much looking forward to speaking with her as well, because this is another person that blows me away with what she's achieved in her lifetime. And to beat out President Bill Clinton, First Lady Hillary Obama, Ellen DeGeneres, and Rachel Maddow for her recent Grammy win in 2013. I mean, my gosh, what an acknowledgement, what an honor to win that Grammy,
it is.
I'm sure. You know?
It is.
So, 6 p.m. Eastern Time tomorrow with us. And David, why don't you go ahead and say what you wanted to say before I close the show?
I would like to give a special shout out to a local listener. Her name is Shirley. And I want to say thank you for listening tonight.
Well, that's sweet. Yes, thank you, Shirley, and to everyone else that joins us for our shows. We really appreciate it, because without the listeners, we wouldn't have a show. It would just me and David talking to each other.
That's right.
And then, of course, you know, thanks to all of our guests that we've had. It's coming up very close to a year of having this show, and I can't believe how much time has flown by. November 10th will be our one-year anniversary, and it's just, wow, where did it go?
Yep.
And we've spoken
to
so many people. My gosh.
Yep. We have spoken to so many people.
And we are working for a special show. David is reaching out to some people, and we're working on a special show for November 10th that you won't want to miss. So be sure
to
follow us on Blog Talk Radio, and they'll send you an email every time we, you know, have a guest scheduled. Also, we tweet out who we are going to have on. So follow us on Twitter at Take2Radio with the number 2. And you can follow David and my other co-host, Sabina, at Take2RadioCrew. Check out the website for upcoming guests, previous podcasts, and more. We have the All My Children and One Life to Live episodes on there. And that's at Take2Radio.com, again with the number 2. And I think our one-year anniversary show is going to be a good one. What do you think?
Yep. Oh yeah. More than you realize there, Mrs. But
more than I realize?
Yes, more than you realize.
Are you teasing me with stuff and not telling me things? That's okay.
I have no definites yet for you.
Okay. But well, let me tell you this. Normally I don't like surprises, but these kinds of surprises I like. So go ahead and knock your socks off.
Well, I want this... consider part of this as my labor of love to you for this year. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, you've done a lot. A lot of people don't know what David does behind the scenes. So, you know, I'm not the only one getting guests. He has also gotten some of the guests that have been on our show. And we Skype all the time, and we work together. So I appreciate all the time that you spend helping the show out, David.
Oh, I love it. It's just, it's not work. It's just a dream come true for me. So I'm
and
very...
I, I'm so happy I could help you with that. You don't even know. You know, I never thought I'd be doing this. And that's something you always want to do, and I never thought I'd be doing this in a million years. This is not something that I set out to do, you know, go to school for, take classes, anything like that. It just happened accidentally, being a co-host on another show, and then that changed, and I started my own show. Now I have two shows, and I'm like, okay, how did all this happen? When you sit back and think about it, you know, how did this all happen? How did I get here? I was just a fan calling into shows all the time and, you know, either talking with the host about soaps or if they had a guest, talking with the guest. And now here I am doing this with you. Yay!
Yay!
I wouldn't change a thing. So thanks again, everybody, for joining us. We hope you enjoyed the short interview with Hartley. We do appreciate him taking time to be with us, even if it was for a short amount of time. And we will see you again at 6 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. Everybody have a good night, and God bless.
God bless, everyone.
Thanks, David. Good night.
Good night.